On a rainy day, next to the commuter train station, Mike Chiffone, one of scores of Middletown volunteers, puts a finishing touch on a memorial to the 37 Middletown residents who left for work on September 11, 2001, but never returned.
We're donating our time and efforts to help build a memorial for the men and women that gave their lives for us during 9/11.
The new memorial is simple, dignified, and to the point. Along a graceful winding pathway are 37 granite markers, each bearing a photograph of the deceased and a personal remembrance. Mr. Chiffone says that working on this project over the past year has been good for him.
Last year I was probably more deep in shock, not knowing what I could do. And as time goes on, the soul heals, and then this project here is like one way for us to help out. Anything we can do to help, we try. And there's other times it feels like there's nothing that I could really do to help, but everybody has their jobs.
Helping others cope with grief is a full-time job for Maureen Fitzsimmons, a bereavement counselor at Catholic Charities, a leading Middletown social service agency. She says that planning and building a memorial has been a boon to many in the town in the effort to move on.
It's a place where people can go and feel that serenity and be reminded, yes, of the tragedy, but also there's hope. That's one of the chief tasks of grieving. We need to be able to relocate that person who has left us and think of him or her in another place, and yet honor and respect the lives that they lived, not the impact of the trauma of the death. And that can begin to happen right around the second year.
There were many inspiring lives among those who died on 9/11. Middletown Police Chief John F. Pollinger is especially moved by the heroism of Kenneth Teigen, a young Port Authority police officer and Middletown native who died trying to save others at the World Trade Center.
As tragic and as horrible as it was, that was Kenny's finest hour, because he was there doing what all cops and all firefighters want to do, to be there at someone's greatest need, to be able to help. It is the most honorable thing that a human being can do, is to head toward danger when everybody else is fleeing. And he gave his life doing that.
A quiet effort to remember life in the face of overwhelming loss can also be heroic. Barbara Minervino's husband, Louis, died a gruesome death at the World Trade Center.
He was everything to me. He was my sunshine. He was my one true love.
Barbara Minervino recalls the first year after Louis's death as a sort of sea of shock for herself and her two grown daughters. But sometime between the first 9/11 anniversary and now, Ms. Minervino began, in her words, to make baby steps toward healing.
And this may seem not so great, but there was $15 on his nightstand that he took out of his pocket on the night before he had gone to a Yankees game. And the $15 was there until a few weeks ago. And I finally decided he's not going to use it. I really don't want to touch it. So I put it in church in the poor basket. And the fact that I also have gone to his closet, which was a big thing. He's not going to use those things. He's not going to need those things. So someone else should use them. And that's what I'm doing with them, giving them away to someone who will be able to use them and appreciate them. It's going to take me a long time.
During normal times, birthdays, holidays, and other special occasions are moments for family members to be together and rejoice. When a loved one dies unexpectedly, however, those days can become filled with sorrow. But here, too, Ms. Minervino reports progress.
Thanksgiving, the first year, we stayed in our pajamas and watched inane videos. Thanksgiving 2002, we got dressed, and I made a turkey, and we were by ourselves. And Thanksgiving this year, I'm going to invite people to join us. So I think that's part of my healing. I always had big family gatherings on the holidays, and I've pushed them aside. I didn't want to face them. It's time to face them. It is real.
For Ms. Minervino's two daughters, recovery has been far more elusive. Marisa, now 24, has found some relief through therapy and medication. But Lena, the older daughter, suffers from nightmares. She cannot pass an airport without horrific visions of the hijacked airplanes that killed her father. Violence on television can make her faint.
Part of it was she rode in on the train with her father that morning. the 11th, she had fallen asleep on his shoulder, and he had to get off at the World Trade Center, and she went on to 33rd Street to where she would go. And her father woke her up, and he said, "See you later." And she said, "But he lied. He won't see me later."
Some groups of mourners have clearly fared better than others. Still, Ms. Fitzsimmons says that in bringing this once insular middle-class town together, the tragedy also brought a gift.
I think people are kinder, more compassionate. Remember very clearly, Rabbi Levin, on the night of September 11, 2001, said to the people, "This is the day for which we have been preparing. Go home, knock on your neighbor's door, say, 'I care about you. What can I do for you?'" And that was very powerful, and people recognized they needed to be neighbors. And now they continue to be those neighbors. They continue to be caring.
For some, the wound of 9/11 brought a gift that few others can observe. One man said that the calamity simply made him love his life more. He was driven before, he said, and now he stops to look at the flowers, the animals, and simply, quote, accept the wonder and amazement and beauty of it all. In Middletown, New Jersey, this is Adam Phillips.